my name is Katie Masouris. I'm a senior security strategist with Microsoft. I'm here with Roelof Temming, the founder of Paterva. Roelof, thanks for joining us at Blue Hat, and I'd like to know what you're going to be talking about tomorrow.
Katie, I'm talking about information gathering on the internet and how we can basically get information off the net and trying to correlate that to be able to help us maybe in attacking something. You know, a lot of the stuff that we do when we do assessment is basically just gathering information. What I found is that a lot of the pieces of information basically connect together. And if you can draw a picture of that, it really helps to understand where weaknesses might be, that kind of thing. Now, also, I have a second part of the presentation that is that's about identity on the internet, mm-hmm. the lack of identity on the internet, and you know, if we can have something like creating virtual communities of people that really doesn't exist, but that is basically just a computer program that acts like a human, and therefore have kind of human behavior. We can do a lot of interesting things with that, like influence other people and influence the economy, maybe even by getting people to do something that we want to do.
So you're talking about, you know, creating false human identities to influence maybe stock prices or elections, or what other kinds of things are you talking about?
Well, I mean, if you just look at things like if we start off with something that is really technically easy to manipulate, like a counter. You know, I remember in the 80s we used to have these counters at the bottom of the web pages. Mm-hmm. So many people coming to my web page. So, I mean, if we hit that site, that counter is going to increment. And a lot of the kind of Web 2.0 stuff is now driven with opinions and ratings. And, you know, how do you rate this product? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we don't need to create a full legend and a true identity to influence something like a rating. But if we need to, then we can create, let's say, an email address that's connected to a person, and where that email address is used to log in and to manipulate the ratings of, let's say, you know, a product or even a movie. If you think of the IMDb, for instance, mm-hmm. and you look at the rating that they give to movies, they don't actually use the they wouldn't look at what you rate a movie unless you rated about 10 or 20 or 30 movies. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do is we need to create a behavior to basically rate a couple of movies, browse around, look for this, and then once we get to the stage where we have virtually rated, let's say, 20 or 30 movies, then we can start really influencing what the rating of a movie might be. This is just, you know, on the IMDb, and this is just a way that they protect themselves against bots, is to say, we're going to have a look and see what your behavior on the system looks like. You can't just register and then vote, you know, a movie. Mm-hmm. You have to show human behavior. And I'm thinking that kind of human behavior can be programmed. So that we can really have something that that looks to the system as if it was a human with a different email address and a name and all of that. If you take that to the limit, those are things that are kind of technically easy. So we're fooling a system, right? Mm-hmm. Where it becomes interesting is if you want to fool other people. So now I'm talking about, can we develop something that, for instance, comments on blogs? Mm-hmm. So we have a blog over here, and we want to create a flock of virtual people to comment on that blog and have negative comments and say, well, you know, I think this is nonsense and blah, 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 and so forth and so on, and do that in an automated fashion. Because if we can start doing that, then we really have the ability to influence public opinion. Mm-hmm. Right? So yeah, it starts off with something as simple as a counter. It gets in the middle of, you know, things like ratings and the systems that are trying to prevent things like click fraud mm-hmm. is really interesting. I mean, you can think of how they can do this. They say, well, you cannot be rating products for 24 hours a day. There's nobody, everybody has to sleep at some stage. So if I see a certain identity, and that would be like, let's say, a cookie that's connected to that, clicking on something, click, 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 for 24 hours in one time, then I can basically say that is a program, right? Mm-hmm. But all of the things that they look for, all of the kind of aspects that they look for human behavior, we can simulate.
Sure.
So I mean, we can say this particular identity of mine is going to go through a proxy. That proxy, the IP address will be located in a specific country, and so the behavior of that person would be that it follows daylight, the hours of daylight within that particular country, because it's coming off an IP address that we know is in that particular country. So most of the things we can simulate.
So it seems very simple to manipulate, you know, a lot of these automated systems that look for, you know, the presence of human or not human, mm. right? So how is it different when you're actually trying to manipulate other people?
Well, of course, you know, the this weekend was the, I don't know if they do it annually, but it was the Turing test mm-hmm. competition. And I mean, it's all about that. It's all about saying, well, if I can convince someone that I'm human, then of course, while I can influence them. On blogs and things like that, it's a lot easier because it's not an interactive thing. You know, it's not like you asking me a question and I have to respond immediately. I can simply put something out there. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot more difficult to influence people, obviously. Because it's maybe not always interactive, it becomes a little bit easier to do that.
Have you found real world examples where this has taken place, aside from the click fraud? Obviously, that's you know, a big problem that organizations have had to deal with and build in those protections, like you talk about. Mm. But have you noticed any examples of this happening in the real world?
Well, I mean, of course, you have all of these spam bots that turn out ads to blogs. They just basically post blogs in there, advertising whatever, everything from all sorts of interesting stuff. But other than that, I haven't really seen it. I've heard rumors that, for instance, for some of the social networks, let's say a studio is launching a new movie or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they have an identity on one of these social networks, and that they actually paid people to, you know, send friends to become friends of that, you know, movie identity, mm-hmm. and that you can order it. You can go, well, I want 10,000 friends, you know, to basically promote the movie and to promote whatever it is that you want to promote. I mean, the problem with this really is that, in terms of researching this and to see if it's possible to do it, there's no real. You can never find a benefit for this other than a malicious benefit, right? Mm-hmm. So to do this as a proof of concept is really tough. And you know, I haven't done that. I haven't been. You know, I haven't built a piece of code that actually goes and registers these identities and trying to break the captchas and all of those things, because mm-hmm. I mean, technically the captcha is there to make sure that these things aren't automated. But I think there's a huge potential for malicious people to basically start looking into this and refining that kind of behavior so that it doesn't get picked up. See, your problem always with this is if one of these bots of yours can be profiled and can be picked up, then of course all we need to do is within the system is search for the same profile,
right.
And then we find all of the bots that's there. So mm-hmm. there's a big reason not to, you know, see if you can hide and not be detected of one of the instances of this bot. Mm-hmm. And interestingness is in terms of the protecting a system like this, mm-hmm. rather than attacking it. So I don't see, you know, for myself, that there's a big impetus to start developing this tech, other than to be super evil, which, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully I'm not.
Hopefully not. So in terms of protection, you know, and final thoughts for the audience, you know, what would your advice be in terms of people who are trying to protect against this kind of fraud, essentially? This is fraud.
No, it is. I guess it's fraud. Look, I mean, legally, what the networks do is they protect it with terms of use and mm-hmm. and those kind of things, which we all know is
right.
is just you know legal protection. And on the technical side, there's the captchas, mm-hmm. and we've seen now in the past, I think in the last couple of weeks, there was you know one of the captchas, major captchas, mm-hmm. being broken as well. So it can't just rely on captures. What we need to do is we need to say, well, human behavior is going to be looking like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a very easy but a technical way. Okay, so if I created a bot to hit a form, then in the access logs of the system, I'm only going to see that form being hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a user that's browsing to that, his browser will basically, for the first time he goes to the site, also download the pictures around it and the links and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So in my logs, I will see, okay, here's he pulling down this little picture, he's pulling that part of that, so forth and so on, until he's got the page, right?
Right.
Now, if he's a bot, he's not going to pull down all of those pictures.
No, he's just going to keep submitting the same form data
exactly.
over and over.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's just kind of profiling. That's a very easy and simple example of just profiling how we can detect if something is human. If you see, for instance, you know someone supplying these or hitting this form, basically submitting this form in a 24-hour period of time, that's got to be a bot because
mm-hmm.
we all got to go to bed at some stage and go sleep. I guess there's other ways that you can do it as well. You know, if you look at IP addresses, maybe mm-hmm. there's a way that you can say, well, this guy cannot travel so fast that in one instance he can come from an IP address that's located at this side of the world, and then you know 5 minutes later he's coming from an IP address that comes from that side of the world. There's just no way that it can travel that fast. Now, it could be that it's going via proxy and all of that. But if you start seeing that behavior over and over again, where the same entity or the same virtual entity is being hit from all sorts of different places, then that could be a problem. If we see guys coming off, let's say, Tor exit nodes,
mm-hmm.
then, of course, it might be that he's really shy. but if it becomes a pattern, then, you know, maybe combined with all of these other things, we can start saying, well, that is not human. That's not human behavior.
Okay.
And of course, all of these things can again be counteracted. So
it's an arms race.
Yeah, it will be mm-hmm. kind of an arms race. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, where it's going to end up.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. That was really interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing your talk tomorrow.
Thanks
so much for joining us.
Thanks.